Amen. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. Take your Bibles this morning and go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think the ushers are there at the back or in that general vicinity, if I can direct them that way. They were going to head away, so I'll catch them before they head away. If they'll all grab a stack there and so forth, if there's other ushers that may help us out here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, is that what I said? Or did I say 5? Did I say 5? All right, I was wrong. It was either me or the Apostle Paul, so let's go with me, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me ask the ushers if they would to come forward then if they're prepared, and I'll have Brother Jerry, if I can get one of those from you as well. As I said, we kind of want to kick off our Faith Promise Missions Conference this morning, and we're going to walk through a couple of things with you today. As they will turn and work their way up the aisle, they're passing out our Faith Promise Missions cards for 2018, and I have several desires in being able to give these out. I would desire that everybody that calls FBT their church home, and you have any kind of income, employment, chances at advancement, that you would take one of these cards. And for example, in our family, my wife and I will be making a commitment together, and then each of our sons will make a commitment as well. So this is not just one per family or one per young person, but every young person can participate. And if the kids have an allowance, if they have commissions, and they're able to participate in Faith Promise Missions giving, be blessed by their investment. So as the ushers work their way up the aisle, we'll hope to get one of these out to everybody. And I'll explain more about it in just a moment. But I want you to have this card in hand. And my desire is that we will take this week and begin to pray about what God would have us to do, either as a couple or as an individual, for the coming year of our missions giving. And very, very blessed to be able to participate in Faith Promise Missions Giving now in my own life, since the time that I was a teenager, and have been able to make a commitment to the Lord each and every year, probably from the time that I was about 12 or 13 years old. And just blessed by the opportunity to invest in what God is doing around the world. And it would be my prayer that you don't lose this card this week. We do have more, and we'll make more available next Sunday morning as well for our Faith Promise Sunday. But if you would, keep this card nearby. Place it there in your Bible. Place it in that place where you would go each and every day to begin to pray about what God would have you to do in this important investment area. This morning, I want to speak on the matter of Faith Promise Missions Giving and why we have it here at FBT and what God has done through it in the past and what I believe He would do in the future. And again, desirous of 100% participation in this endeavor. Again, if this is your church home, if you find your way back here each and every week and you call this your church home, we'd love to have you invest in our Faith Promise Missions program. Now, if you would, keep that card handy. We'll refer back to it in just a little bit. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Let's ask God's blessings upon the message as we focus our attention on our missions giving for the coming year. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak before these dear folks. I thank you for the investment and energy that's been put forth to be in this service today. I pray that you direct all of us as we begin to pray this week as to what you'd have us do in our Faith Promise missions giving. Lord, we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to combine our efforts with you, the all-powerful, the ever-creating being, the one that is before all, that knows all, the one that is eternally existent. Lord, I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity to participate in how you will take these funds and use them throughout the globe. And I pray that we direct our attention now and make this personal. Lord, what can I invest in what you will do throughout the globe? And I pray that you direct our attention now to this passage. And it may be that some will be hearing this for a number of times that they've heard it before, but maybe some are hearing it for the very first time. And so I pray that as we walk through this, that you would challenge each of us for this coming year. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth and challenges them with what is taking place in another ministry. And he says, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He says, I want to draw your attention to what God is doing through these other churches there in Macedonia. And then he begins to delineate the matter of giving for worldwide evangelization. I want to draw your attention back to a passage in Acts chapter 1 in verse number 8. You don't need to turn there, but let me read it to you. The Bible says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is the commission, the great commission that was given by Almighty God before he ascended back up into heaven. I believe that the commission was given to the local church, and we have an obligation as a local church to participate corporately in seeing individuals saved, baptized, and then local New Testament churches formed all over the world. I believe that there ought to be a gospel preaching light in every city, in every country, on every continent around the globe. And until that's accomplished, we have much work left before us. And the Word of God gives us that obligation to go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And it's our obligation to participate in that at the very same time. So we don't neglect our own Jerusalem or the United States of America that we might reach unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we don't neglect the uttermost part of the earth that we might reach unto our own Jerusalem. We have the obligation to be reaching all of these at the very same time. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we have the Great Commission given. But it wasn't until Acts chapter 13 and verses 1 through 4 that a church in Antioch took upon themselves the desire to send forth a couple of men. And the Bible says that they looked out amongst those men and they chose according to God's direction. They chose Saul and Barnabas. And the Bible says that God declared, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. We find there that God selected these missionaries and God selected these men to be able to take the gospel to other regions of the known world at that time. And as God selected them, the Bible says then that local church sent them out. And we find in Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 14, the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. At the end of chapter 14, the Bible says that Paul and Barnabas returned back to their home base And they reported as to all that God did for them while they were on that first missionary journey. Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 14, the first journey, they come back and they report in the end of chapter 14. In the beginning of chapter 16, the Bible says that now there's two missionary teams. The Bible says that Barnabas and Paul split, and Barnabas took unto himself John Mark, and Paul took unto himself Silas. And they went different directions and began to further evangelize. And so I believe that we're participating in this very simple truth of God identifying servants that are called, and we as a local church then, upon God calling them, send them out to the regions beyond. But the question comes, how are we going to pay for it? How's it going to be accomplished? I want to walk through a couple of different ways that churches participate in supporting missions. And by way of detailing a couple of different things, this list is in no way exhaustive as to the many ways that people participate in missions, but let me give you a couple of the highlights. How do churches participate in giving to missions? Well, some churches do it through a denominational cooperative. And so at some point in time throughout the year, our local church, for example, would take up a large offering, or as large as we could bring into the storehouse, if you would. We'd take up a large offering and we'd send it off to our denominational headquarters. And then that denominational headquarters would identify individuals that were going to serve out of that denomination. And they would give out the funds. They'd give them to people that are sent. They'd give them to churches. They'd give them to colleges that are all part of that denomination. And so no doubt you may have heard of churches that do this kind of a missions effort or this kind of a missions giving. In fact, you may have been a part of a church that does this kind of thing where they send their funding to a headquarters or to the denominational cooperative. There's a second way that churches will often give, and they will include missions giving in their annual budget. And so they'll have the budgeted items of taking care of personnel that work at the church, taking care of the vehicle maintenance. They'll budget for all of these different items, and then they'll have a line item, and they'll say, this is the amount that we're going to direct towards missions. And they'll come up to an amount, and they'll have a percentage of it, and they'll say, okay, we're going to designate 10%, 20%, 30% of our general giving, and all of that will go to missions or planting churches, both in this country and around the world. So some do it through a denominational cooperative. Some do it through a budgeted giving. But here at FBT and the churches that I've been involved in my life, we have what is called faith promise missions giving or grace giving. And maybe you're more familiar with the terminology faith promise, but many of you may be very familiar with the term grace giving, as we find it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Some churches believe in and also preach faith promise missions giving. Each member on this card is challenged to pray about an amount above their tithes and offerings that they will designate to be used in sending out missionaries and church planters both near and far away. And so that's what you have here on this card. You'll notice on this card that there's no place for your name, because this is a commitment between you and Almighty God. You'll notice on the card that it says that this is above our tithes and offerings. And so we have the God-given responsibility of funding and caring for our home base and taking care of that. But this is above that. This is above our tithes and our offerings. And it's the opportunity to say, I want to invest some funds that the gospel might be spread throughout the world. And so you'll notice down there on the bottom that there's two different locations where you'll put an amount and you'll mark either a weekly, biweekly, or monthly amount. Again, you'll notice that there's a perforation there and you're keeping one side of this and praying about it, and then you're giving us the other side of it with no name, because this is between you and God. But what we do as a church is then we take in that amount and we look at what we can then do as a cooperative church and a cooperative giving, what we can do in sending the gospel both near and far away. So this coming week, We're going to be hosting missionaries. Some of them will be coming to us on deputation, meaning that they've never been on the field as of yet. They haven't been there full time. And so they're coming to us and they're seeking to raise their initial support. Some of the missionaries coming to us are on what is called deputation. They're going church by church to raise the funding to go to the field. For example, Watt and Amanda Dosentod, they were with us last year. They're headed to Thailand. And you may remember that name. The Dosentods were on deputation, and they're now at 73% towards their goal of 100%. So they're working their way around the country and raising support that they might go to the field. Then there are missionaries that are coming back to us, and they're coming in on what is called furlough. It's kind of like Acts chapter 14, where the Apostle Paul and Barnabas come back from their missionary journey, and they bring a report as to what God is doing on the field. So Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says, they went around and they proclaimed, look, this is what God did in this city. This is what God did in this city. This is what he did here and there. Some of the missionaries that will be with us in the coming week, such as Matt Goins and his wife, Delita, and their boys, are coming back to us on furlough. And they serve in the country of Honduras. And I've had the opportunity to interact with them several times on their field. But they're going to come and they'll report as to what God is doing in El Progreso, what God is doing in the other cities where they're planting new works. So you have missionaries that are coming for the first time. You have missionaries that are coming back to report. And then we've got another section of missionaries that are coming to us. And I tell you what, they excite me the most. They're the ones that have been sent out of our very midst. Brother David Hasifluk will be joining us for our conference. And Brother David has been a part of my life since we were both in first grade together. I think he's actually a grade older than me, first and second grade. And Brother David has been a faithful servant with his family there in the country of Albania. But he is sent directly out of the Fairfax Baptist Temple. So just as it was in Acts chapter 13, God identified David and said, David, I'm calling you to the ministry. And we as a local church decided that with that calling of God upon his life and with the desire to be sent forth, that we would stay behind and be faithful in holding the ropes on his behalf. So as the missionaries come to us this week, I hope that you'll invest yourself not only in them and in their families, but also in the countries to which they're called. And so it brings us to this point of faith promise missions giving. What we would desire to have happen and what would just thrill my soul to no end is for us to all set next Sunday as the target date of having our cards turned in, that next Sunday night we might have kind of a tallying done and just take stock of where we believe God would have us to go for the coming year. Now, I know it's hard to do this. Because so many of you work in so many different areas of ministry and you give of your time and energy in children's church and in different functions and so forth while we're in the services that it's hard to get the cards in. But I pray that you and I will pray this week and say, what would God have me to do? And that we'd get as close to 100% participation as we can. And look, folks, listen, as I've said, there's no name on this, so no one tracks you down. No one comes and says, hey, we noticed that you put $5 on this. And so far, we've seen no $5 from you. What's up? You know, that doesn't happen, okay? This is between you and the Lord. And it's very important that you know this because you're making the promise to the Lord, not to FBT. I know at times people are like, oh, Pastor, we hear about money all the time in church. In truth, I preach very little about money because your wallet is between you and God. And I know that God desires to take care of us as long as we're walking obediently and faithfully in his path. This is his work. So he can choose to do what he desires. But I know that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if he desires for us to have some of that cattle and to have some of it sold, that we might be prospered, then I know that God's in it. If God, for some reason, doesn't have the same amount of funding that we thought we were going to have before, then God is in it. Here's my prayer. My prayer is that all of us would have a heart to have some kind of participation. I want to have some kind of an investment in this because I believe the results will be untold until we actually get to heaven. Let me give you an example before I get to the heart of the message this morning. I took a missions trip back in 1997, and it was one of our early trips. And so if you'll remember this, remember video cameras used to be very large. And taking a video camera on a trip was an extra suitcase almost, with the tapes and the camera and everything like this. And I felt like this mission trip was going to be worth it. And so we took the church camera. We took multiple VHS tapes. Do you remember this? To be able to tape this missions trip. And I remember when we returned, we were going to show the footage from the tape. And we walked through it, and the people got to see it. And there's still, even in watching a video, there's still a key ingredient that you cannot show. And it's the smell that is around you in different locations around the globe. And by the way, the smell can be found here in the U.S., so it's not just in foreign nations. But if you could somehow have one of those VHS tapes with like a scratch and sniff, that would be perfect. If you could do that on one of those VHS tapes and they could kind of smell what you smelled and hear what you heard and see what you saw, man, it'd be awesome. But at the end of the showing of that videotape, I had a gentleman that came to me after the service, and he said, "Brother Todd, can I talk to you for just a moment?" I said, "Sure." He said, "You know, I've been a part of this church for a number of years." And he said, "To this date, I have never given anything to missions. But," he said, "in this coming year, as a result of what I've seen in this video and what I've heard and what's been declared by way of testimony," he said, "in this coming year, I'm going to commit $5 a week to missions." And I looked at him and I said, "$5 a week, really? Are you kidding me? $5 a week? That's nothing. You can do better than that." I didn't say that, folks. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, my heart leaped. My heart leaped with joy. Because that's exactly what should happen in this coming week. As we are moved by the missionary stories of those that have served on the field, as we are moved by the energy of the people that are headed to the field, listen, there are some tremendous families that are going to be with us this week. And I am so energized about hearing what God is doing in these different places. Some of them I'm very familiar with. Some I know little or nothing about. And I tell you, when they show their displays and their presentations, and then the family begins to interact and they begin to sing and they begin to show the joy of Christ in their life and the energy that they have to reach these people and the fact that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Well, I tell you what, it's impossible but that mine eye will not affect my heart. And I believe that even the $5 that is given is a huge investment. I believe that the dollar bill that the young person gives in Children's Church to Faith Promise Missions is a huge investment. I believe with all of my heart that God would desire for a believer to have some kind of investment, some level of participation in this. And I believe it so much so as that the book of Philippians declares to us, on the heels of learning of their missionary endeavors, on the heels of learning what the church at Philippi had done, on the heels of all of that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need." That verse is directly related to the nature of our missions giving. And so I very quickly want to walk through a couple of things with you this morning about the nature of Faith Promise Missions giving. We've read this text in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and I want you to see four things with me very quickly about the nature of our giving to missions. Now, either of our speakers might speak on this matter as well, and they might share more with you, but it's my heart as the pastor here of FBT for you to have an understanding of why we do what we do and how we support missions, and it would be my desire that we had 100% participation. Number one, would you notice with me here from the passage that giving to missions is not about equal giving, but it's about equal sacrifice. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2 of chapter 8. As the Apostle Paul challenges them with the example of the churches of Macedonia, he declares how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I believe that missions giving is no longer, it's not about equal giving, but it is about equal sacrifice. In other words, there are churches around this globe in which the people have very little to their name. But to the best of their abilities, they will take a church planter that's going to another village or another location, and they might bring an offering of food, or an offering of rice, or an offering of live chickens. That has happened. And they say to that church planter, here, as you go, take these chickens with you. And that chicken then becomes the source of some sustenance. Well, what's more valuable? What you and I are putting in here in the U.S. or what is happening in that village work in Mwanza, Tanzania? The people make on average $2-3 a month. What's more important to Almighty God? That widow's mite or the amount that we would give here in this setting and outside the Washington, D.C. area? You see, my friend, it is not about every person in this auditorium giving the equal amount. Everyone has what God has provided. Everybody has differing amounts that are coming into their hands. And every single one of us are called to be wise stewards of all that God passes through our hands. And we notice here in this passage, the Bible says, look, these people were deeply impoverished, but they were very generous with what God gave to them. Now, if you travel with me throughout this globe, you'd see a lot of people that seem to have little to nothing. I remember very well in 1999 as I traveled down to Porto Alegre, Brazil. And I met with Brother Roger Crowder and his wife and the missionary team that God had assembled there in Rio Grande do Sul. And Brother Roger drove myself and a friend of mine over to a church. And it was a national man that had been sent out of their church there in Brazil. And he was planting a work. And the upper floor was the church auditorium. And Brother Roger said to me, he said, Pastor Todd, or I wasn't pastor at that time, just Brother Todd, he said, I want you to go with me. I want to show you where the pastor and his wife and family live. And there in Santa Maria, Brazil, he took me down underneath of the church where they had dug out enough dirt to carve a place for he and his wife to have a bedroom and for his children to have a bedroom. And I tell you what, I've never seen such a spirit as I did in Pastor Antonio. And it was almost more than I could do. To stand and look at what he was doing for Christ. And the sacrifices that he was making. And I would look at my own life and I'd say, shame on me. I think that I'm giving out of my generous amount that's been given to me from Almighty God. But here's a man who has traveled a number of hours away from his home and town and place where he's trained and the familiarity of the American missionary. And he has declared, listen, I want to plant a lighthouse in this city. I believe with all of my heart that we all have an obligation to participate. But it may be out of deep poverty that someone puts the dollar bill in the offering plate. And there are going to be some in this church that are going to stretch their faith and they're going to say, there's absolutely no way financially that this kind of a commitment should be made. I do not know where these funds would possibly come from. And you might put down $10 a week. And you think to yourself, well, $10 a week, I mean, what will they possibly do with that? But you know what? You're partnering with Almighty God in the investment. And when I see things like Pastor Antonio and I reflect on that for just a few moments, I know that $10 would be a huge investment in him. And so I want all of us to recognize that this is not about me coming to each of you and declaring, here's the set amount that we're all going to give, because it's between you and the Lord. And I would pray that we would all see it as what we can sacrifice. David said in 2 Samuel 24, he declared, I will not offer God that which costs me nothing. Number one, giving to missions is not about equal giving, but it's about equal sacrifice. Number two, giving to missions starts by giving your own life to the Lord. Look what the Bible says there in verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. My friend, before God ever desires to have your wallet, He desires to have your life. And if you will give your life to Almighty God, your wallet will not be far behind. You see, I have an entirety of all of the things that God has entrusted to me. You have an entirety of all the things that God has entrusted to you. And God has declared to us that we are to be stewards of that time, talent, and treasure. But I tell you, the primary thing for every one of us is to say, God, here's my life. It's yours. In Mark chapter 8, verses 35 and 36, the Bible says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Some of you would be very familiar with the story of five missionaries that took the gospel back in the 1950s. They took the gospel to the Alca Indians in the country of Ecuador. And the most famous of those individuals was probably Jim Elliot. And Jim Elliot declared, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The investment that you and I make in a lot of areas is a wasted investment. There have been times in my past where I got really excited about the investment in a baseball card because this man was going to be the greatest of a generation. And so I did everything I could to invest as many dollars that I had into the life of that individual and the piece of paper that they found themselves on in a baseball card. Guys like Jose Canseco, Mark McGuire, Frank Thomas. Where are all of those cards now, and what are they worth? You see, I just saw the other day that Mickey Mantle's rookie card from 1952 just sold for several million dollars. And every single man that had baseball cards back in the 1950s right now is like, I need to go back and check mine. My father-in-law had a Mickey Mantle rookie card. And when he went off to college, his mom decided to declutter his bedroom. And she decluttered by throwing out boxes of baseball cards. Oh, think of the inheritance. I mean, think of how that could have benefited them. And I've had a lot of poor investments. But you know, my friend, I've never regretted an investment in partnering with God in missions. No regrets there. Because God declares His word will not return void. God says, look, give yourselves your life, your doing to the Lord first. Number three, would you notice with me quickly? Giving to missions is not equal giving, but it is equal sacrifice. Giving to missions starts by giving your own life to the Lord. Number three, giving to missions is a reflection of the other things that God is doing in your heart. Look at verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, Look, this is what I'm hearing about your church. This is what I'm hearing about you individually. This is what God is doing through you. I've heard great things about your faith, your utterance, your knowledge, your diligence, and your love to us. Listen, you are abounding in all these things. But look what the Bible says. See that ye abound in this grace also. See that ye abound in this grace giving, this ministry to the saints that are willing to go to take the gospel. God is at work in your heart, and He's churning and stirring you and stirring you. And listen, folks, with every passing mission trip, with every person that I take to the field, I'm more energized when our church comes back and their eyes have affected their hearts. It is impossible to go to places around this country and around this globe and not be stirred into action. All of the men that took a simple trip in relative costs and in relative energy and in all the logistics, they took a simple trip over to Perryville, Missouri. All of us would with one voice say how moving it was to interact with those church people there in that ministry with Brother Kiefer. And again, in terms of logistics and in terms of cost, that wasn't that big of a deal. But all of us were stirred by what God is doing in that place. Why? Because our eyes affect our hearts. One of the dangers, and I will warn you right now, one of the dangers that comes with going with me on a mission trip is this. Are you ready? If you go with me once, I will be expecting you to go every time thereafter. You sign up one time, you're signing up for a lifelong of trips. Why? Because I believe that it happens naturally. And boy, if you go one time, God stirs your heart, stirs your thinking, and you're like, God, I really want to see what the next one is doing. For years and years, we've been involved in teen mission trips, and I appreciate the teenagers that are willing to go. And I tell you what, I've been in some difficult places with teenagers, and we've had some pretty rough conditions to survive in and so forth. And I tell you, the teenagers were troopers. I've had a lady that was 76 years old that slept on a concrete floor on a mat in the country of Mexico, and she did it with a smile on her face. And we had no running water from Monday morning till Thursday night. And that lady, with a sweet, sweet spirit, gave her time and energy, and she finally reached the point as she began to reach the 80-year-old mark. She finally came to me and said, Pastor, please, I cannot go on the next trip. Because she knew what I'd ask her. She was such a sweet spirit. She'd do anything. She'd have to come to me at times and she'd say, Brother Todd, I need to stay back today. My energy just won't take me where you all will be going today. But as much as I love to take teenagers, I tell you, there's nothing like getting an adult to the field. An adult's already involved in life and income. And I have had adults that have come to me and they said, listen, I just really struggle in travel. And I understand that. I'm sympathetic to you. But listen, if there's any way that you would go and see any other place, well, I tell you what, it'll move your heart. It'll stir you as nothing else. We've had the opportunity to participate in missions trips from New York City all the way out to the Midwest and the Mountain West. And I tell you what, it just stirs me to meet child after child that has never heard the name of Jesus Christ right here in the United States of America. Giving to missions is a reflection of the other things that God is doing in your heart. It is an outpouring for the other ways that God is stirring you. Let me give you a fourth one and I'll finish. Giving to missions follows the pattern set by Christ in giving. Would you notice with me verse number 9? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. There's been no greater pattern set for us than the pattern set by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus became poor that we through his poverty might be rich. Do you know that I could travel around the globe with the wealth of Bill Gates and give 5 pounds of rice to every single human being that lives on the earth? And they'd be fed for an amount of time, but eventually they'd be right back in the middle of their hunger. Do you know that I could take the wealth of Bill Gates and travel around the globe and bring water or a water source to people all over this globe, and they'd have drinking water, maybe for a long period of time, but maybe for just a short period of time. But eventually that water may run out. I'm not going to partner with Bill Gates in feeding the world and giving water to the world. That's not my endeavor. But I tell you what, I do have a partner. It's God Himself. And I can take to the world a message of salvation that won't just feed them for a time, that won't just give them water for a time. I can take the message of salvation and I can give them the bread of eternal life. I can give them the water from the well that never dries up. And in doing that, I'm following the pattern that has been set by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To the remote villages of the continents of this globe, to the big cities that abound with millions and millions and millions of people, to the varied cultures and the varied countries on the varied continents, there is one name given among men whereby all men must be saved. And His name is Jesus. I'm asking you, FBT, to partner with Almighty God in this coming commitment to Faith Promise. This is not for the home front. This is not for us to have things here. This is for us to keep these missionaries going, serving the Lord, and evangelizing another place. Now, I hope you'll invest yourself this week. I know there's much that goes on during a week of conference, and I know it's hard to make it here each and every night. But if you come Wednesday night, I'm telling you, your heart will be stirred. Thursday night with the Master Kids Choir and the story and the song that they're going to sing, I believe it'll bless your heart. Friday night with the international dress and all the variations from countries around the globe. And then the international fellowship to follow. Boy, I tell you, to bless your heart, to participate. Sunday morning in Sunday school, we'll hear from two missionaries. I believe they'll challenge your heart. I believe with all of my heart that Brother David Hasifluk is praying right now for what God would have him to preach. And I believe Brother David will bring exactly what God desires for us to hear, both Sunday morning and Sunday night. But my friend, this is going to pass ever so quickly. But I tell you what, something that will count for eternity is what you commit to Almighty God with this matter before you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for our time together this morning. I've only given 4 reasons. I know that there are many more reasons to participate in missions, but I've given 4 this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I pray that as we look at this card and begin to pray about what you would have us to do,